Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome. We're so glad you were here today. So good to see all of your smiling faces. And today is Youth Sunday. So once a month, we encourage some young people to get involved in ministry. And so I have Lily here helping with the announcements. Can we just give her a hand this morning? I appreciate young people who are willing to do something for God. Amen. All right, so she has our first announcement.
There will be no cantata practice today. Practice will be Tuesday at 7.
All right, we also want to remind you we have a Thanksgiving dinner here at the church on Thanksgiving Day. That is open to everyone. So my family, we come here. There's several other families in the church that they just make that their Thanksgiving family dinner. And so we come here at noon. We have a lot of great food, a lot of good fellowship. And you could, it's open to anyone. So feel free to invite someone. So especially if people don't have a place to go, we don't want them to be alone on Thanksgiving. So we would love to have them come and join us. But again, it is not just for someone who's in need. It is open to everyone. We'd love to see you if you don't already have plans. So on Thanksgiving Day at 12 p.m.
We are collecting items for the Appalachian mission trip. Now through November 26th. You can donate hats, gloves, or socks in the box in the back of the church.
All right. And at the same time that we're doing the Appalachia, we are also doing Cards from Christ. So this is a great ministry that you can just sign Christmas cards. And the most important part is you can talk about Jesus. Amen? So in those cards that you want to fill out, tell them Jesus loves you. Put scriptures in there. And we're going to collect them. And we send it to a guy named Kent Money in Columbus. This is a huge ministry that he does. I believe his goal this year is like 100,000 cards throughout the state of Ohio and a few other areas. And so we want to be a good help to that. So our goal is 1,500. We're not going for 100,000, but 1,500. So if you can sign some Christmas cards, drop in the box in the back. There are a lot of rules because it is going into a prison. So get the little paper in the back that tells all the rules. You can see it up here as well. It's simple, but just follow directions, right?
Lighthouse Connection this Saturday from 6 p.m. for anyone who is new to the Lighthouse in the past year or two. See Welcome Center for more info.
All right, and our very last announcement. I just want to make you aware and have you keep praying. Today is the launch of our fully Spanish Hispanic church at 3 p.m. We are so excited. So again, please keep praying. It's going to start every week now at 3 p.m. We're having Spanish services. If you know a Spanish family, please invite them to come. We want to see everyone reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And at this time, Sister Betty is coming with our call to worship. And let's give Lily one more hand. It's not always easy to get up here.
Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I wanted to do call to worship this morning because I am the preschool teacher at the Lighthouse here. And I am so excited about what God is doing in us. And we started with a couple of kids in preschool. And now sometimes we have 8 or 9 or 10. And we have had some children who have had some issues with some behavior. But you know what? God is working on them. And God is making them into people of his kingdom. Amen. So we're really excited about what God is doing. And if you would, if you are in my preschool class, will you stand up for me? It's Bruin back there, Josiah, Skyler, Reese. These are my preschoolers. They're mine. Mm-hmm. And we love them very much. You can be seated. Will you give them a hand this morning? And we believe in teaching foundational truth, and the foundational truth of the preschool class is we are Engine 36 of the Firehouse Kids, and our goal is to love God first and love others. Amen? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said the law and the prophets hang on two things, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And so we've been learning that God created everything. We've been learning that God created us, and we are in his image, and that we are unique and blessed. And so in the next few weeks, we are going to be learning about the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to be talking about prayer and thanksgiving. So moms and dads and grandmas and caregivers, if you have a preschooler, that's what we're learning. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. So we encourage you to continue to help them learn. And is that video ready, Jim? It is. So Sister Elaine is going to play this video for me. And so this is my scripture today to call to worship, that we're going to call on the Lord. Amen. That we're going to learn to pray. Amen. Because that's a foundational truth that God wants to hear from us, and he also wants to speak to us. God bless you.
For kids, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
We are praying to God. He is our loving Father in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed means holy or great. It's like saying, your name is awesome.
Thy kingdom come.
God's kingdom is a loving place to be.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
God wants us to live in peace and with goodness, so that earth will be like heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
We trust God to give us what we need every day.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
We're asking God to forgive us for our mistakes, and we promise to forgive people who have done wrong to us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
We're asking God to help us do the right thing, even when that's hard.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God is wonderful and powerful, and will stay that way forever.
Amen.
Amen means so be it, or this is the truth and I agree.
And the church says, amen. Will you stand with us this morning? We're going to ask you at this time, our first song, to come and give, and the offering ways to give are going to be on the screen. And let's just worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah.
Celebrate, oh, he is risen, he is risen. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, so all that might see the truth will know he is a way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, so all that might see the truth will know he is a way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted. We want to see Jesus lifted high.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you're great, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Lift up your name.
The stars say, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound.
Has no place. Thank you.
You know, I sing this song at home every once in a while. How many of you have what the doctors call arthritis? In your fingers, in your knees, in your ankles. Weird places that you go to move it and all of a sudden it hurts when it didn't hurt before. When I get up in the morning, my body wants to be stiff. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit brings this song to my remembrance. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what my body's doing. Doesn't matter what my life looks like. You are great, Lord. You are great, Lord. If I don't have enough money in my checkbook, you're still great. If my body feels lousy, you're still great, Lord. He's worthy of your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let me hear your voice this morning. Hallelujah.
Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Come on, let God download that in your spirit. Let him give you the revelation of how great he is right now.
Holy, holy, holy,
oh, you're great God, are you Lord? Come on, lift your hands and receive it right now. He's revealing himself to you. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. He's greater than that problem in your life. He's greater than that circumstance in your life. He's greater than that, the greatest feeling or high you've ever experienced. He's greater than that. And he's greater than the lowest depths you've ever been in. He's greater. He's above and he's below and he's beyond. He expands beyond everything. He's outside of time and space. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Hallelujah. That burden you're carrying this morning, he wants you to release it to him right now. You say, but Pastor, I've given it to him and I've given it to him. Do it again. Do it again. Come on, right now. Do it again. Just give it to him. Release it to him, Father. You see our heavy hearts. You see those who are celebrating and have reason to celebrate. And you see those who are mourning, who are struggling this morning. And you see why they're struggling. You see every body. You see every soul. You see every spirit. Father, we lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. We declare peace. Peace. The peace of God. Peace with God. And the God of peace. I thank you, Lord, that you're crushing Satan underneath our feet right now. I thank you, Lord, that we have peace with you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his grace and redemption. But we carry your peace right now. In the midst of all these tumultuous times and the turmoil that's going in our lives, we carry your peace right now. We declare it. We prophesy it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you see every heart, every mind. We release these things to you. The people that we have been praying for, we turn them over to you. The financial situations and burdens, we turn them over to you. Those that are sick in body and dealing with viruses and bacteria and diagnoses, Lord, we give them to you right now. We believe your report, God. We believe your report, God, right now. Hallelujah. Lord, you see our nation. You see the things that are taking place that break our heart because they know they break your heart. But God, I pray that in spite of all of that, you will let us be a shining light in the midst of this dark world, that people will still see hope. Lord, let us be the bearers of your hope and your peace. We declare it right now. We stand for Israel right now. We stand and pray for them. We intercede for this nation, Lord. These are your people. We pray for protection. We pray for wisdom from leadership, that they would step in and do what they need to do to protect. God, we pray for Hamas and Hezbollah. We pray for the surrounding nations that want to do evil, that evil has been birthed in their heart towards people. We pray that, God, you would give them an awakening of your love, that they would come to meet Jesus, their Savior, face to face. So, God, while governments fight this in flesh and blood, we stand today and we fight this in spirit. We fight this battle in spirit right now. Send your angels, God. Send your angels, God. Give revelation knowledge of your goodness, God, right now, Father. Not only in these people's hearts, but in every heart and life here. It's connected to this church, Lord. Give us an experience with you that's life-changing. Stir our faith, Lord. Move in us, God, I pray right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands right now? Just bless the Lord. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Come on, bless the Lord at all times. Whether you're rejoicing this morning, whether you're mourning this morning, whether you're somewhere in between this morning, bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ in our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. And I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I will bless the Lord. Oh, my words. Just raise your voice and give the Lord Jesus a blessing. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you have accomplished in our lives. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you all that you've prepared for us this day, Lord. But most of all, God, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for your character. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your righteousness. We bless you in this place, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Will do great things. He will do great things. He will do great things. Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah. We can praise him on this side of the problem, not on the other side of the problem. Amen. For we know he is good and he is working. Amen. Today is a significant day for this church. And I felt led by the Holy Spirit to do this. I think it's important that we recognize days of significance. Because when they take place, sometimes they don't feel significant. Sometimes they don't seem to be significant. Sometimes they seem very ordinary. In the mid to late 40s, there was a people group who had left their homes and came to Cary, Ohio, looking for work, looking for a place to raise their family, looking for a safe area. And they had left, a lot of them had left the hills of eastern Kentucky. And the joke is that in that area, if you filled your gas tank and started heading north on 23, it would bring you to Cary. And that's where you would run out of gas. And you would be stuck here in Cary. The truth is that somehow somebody from that area had moved in this area here and found work. And word started getting back that there was jobs available here. And people started traveling from their home to come and to find work. But in the midst of that, they needed a place to worship. They were a very different culture, a very different group than the area that was here. The people that were here were very German-Irish descent. So they were German-Irish Catholic or German Lutheran. That's what was here and available to them. And that just felt odd and awkward to these Appalachia people. And so they started gathering together in a home and having church. And shortly after that, sometime, I wish I had the year to date, but I don't know that specifically, they bought an one-room brick schoolhouse here on this property, and they started a church for people who were traveling into this area who needed a place to worship. In 1951, that church became the Cary Pentecostal Church of God. They joined the Pentecostal Church of God, and we became affiliated with them. And they built on another sanctuary onto that one-room brick schoolhouse, and God just continued to move and move and move from here. And we are into this building now in 2023. We dedicated this in 2020. And yet again, God is moving. I want you to see this picture. There are people who are in unsafe environments. There are people who need work, need jobs. And they're moving into this area. And this is where I want to caution your hearts, church. There's a whole lot of people who have tried to make this thing political. It's not political. Government needs to do what government needs to do. You understand me? But the church needs to do what the church needs to do. And so I'm all for government setting laws and rules and regulations and things for protection of their people. But I'm also all for churches saying, whosoever will, come to the foot of the cross. Receive Jesus Christ. Be transformed and changed. Amen. And so there's people who have traveled in this area and have found work. They found jobs. And they need a place to worship. And there has been no place for them to worship. And while it may seem insignificant today, today is a very significant day. Because today marks a day where yet another people group have a place to come and worship Jesus Christ. when those, I'm going to say it this way because I can say it lovingly because I am one, or he is one. When those hillbillies bought that old schoolhouse, they didn't realize the significance of that day. You could not be here had they not followed the leading of the voice of the Holy Spirit in their life. You would not be here in this place worshiping God if it was not for them. And while it may be insignificant, we have no idea how many people are going to show up. But what we do know is this: God will be glorified. In the language of Spanish, in this building today, for anyone who can only speak that language, they will be welcome to come and freely worship the name of Jesus Christ. Today is a day of significance. Glory a Dios, glory to God. And this is the scripture that God stirred in my heart. It says in Isaiah chapter 54, and I'm going to start reading in verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Now listen to this part. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For I will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is a prophetic word over this place today, that this is not the time of division or the dividing. I want you to hear this very clearly. We are not now separating the Spanish-speaking from the English-speaking people. We are enlarging our borders. We are stretching our tents. We are making room for those who had not yet been made room for. We are making an opening in our hearts, and we are one church serving the one living God who is moving in this land. Do you hear me this morning? I'm professing this and proclaiming this in the name of Jesus and prophesying this, that this house has this day enlarged its borders. It has opened up itself, and we have drove the stakes down in the ground nice and strong, made sure the cords were able to handle what we're doing, and though all hell come against us, we will not be moved because we will hear the word of the Lord and we will obey the word of the Lord. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. God is doing something great in this place. And so I wanted to pause for a moment and recognize that. Just as if when we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, I always, as your pastor, pause and recognize what God's doing so that we understand. I'm this day pausing and recognizing what God is doing prophetically in this church, that this day has come to pass. And the word that was spoken to us years ago that said not only would we be a multi-generational church, but we would also be a multicultural church. We don't need to talk about it anymore because it has happened. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is what I want to do, and then we're going to move into the rest of this service. But I believe that we need to bind together because, like I said, this is not a day of division. We've been having bilingual services where we've all come together. But this is not a day where we're separating everybody now. No, no, no. We have enlarged. We're enlarging ourselves. We are one. Everybody say one. One church. Working together to reach all the people in our community. Amen. So I want Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunia to come. And I want us to pray over them. This is a new venture. They have followed the path of Abraham, so to speak. Leave your homeland. Go to a place where I will send you. And there, every place you step, I'm going to give you. I'm going to prosper you. Amen. Come right down here front here. And I want a church to come and just gather around these pastors. We are together in this. We are together in this. And we're not, look, we've already prayed over this church plant. Today what we're doing is we're blessing it. Amen? We're blessing it. We're blessing the Lord for what he is doing. And we are going to come against the work of the enemy that is trying to come against this church as a whole. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on in here. We're going to come against the enemy that is trying to disrupt this church as a whole and is trying to disrupt this Hispanic church plant. Listen to me, pastors. We will not be discouraged. We will not be discouraged. Take courage, right? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with us. Amen? Come on, stretch your hands this way. Lay hands on them if you're there. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for these pastors. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon them. And we bless this day, a day of significance of what you are doing in your kingdom in this place. We have enlarged our borders. We've stretched forth our tents, Lord. And we declare, God, that no devil in hell can stop what you are doing. We stand firm in the faith, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are establishing and you are building your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There is nothing that will stop us to penetrate the darkness in this area and to see your will come to pass, Lord. We stand in faith right now and believe that it will be done. We come against the enemy that will try to create confusion, that will try to create distraction, that will try to trip this church up in any way as a whole, Lord. And we come together in unity, for we are one body in you doing your work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. Let the love of God be shed abroad from our hearts to all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And the people of God rejoice at what the Lord does. Amen. Come on, rejoice in the Lord. Be glad at what he is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a testimony here. Yeah, a brother Raybert. Listen to this. He says, God has just healed his ear, which had been sick for a week. I had it covered up with mud, and it came out and hurt a lot, and I could hear well. So this just came out on his tissue here, and his ear opened up, and God just healed him right now as we were praying. Praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. Dios es bueno. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? He's with us. He's here moving and blessing. Hallelujah. All right, at this time, we are going to go ahead and get our students ready to go to their classes and dismiss. And as we're doing that, yeah, you can go. Teens have teen class. Our firehouse kids are this morning. You can go back for that. As you're doing that, if you want to stand to your feet, we're going to take up a special offering for the man of God who's come to be with us today. I don't want to take any more time. I'm going to try to get him up here so he has his liberty and freedom. This man is a man who has been a lead pastor. He's been an executive pastor. Now he's a church coach. He has been walking through a program with us, this church, and me and Pastor Alicia have met with him almost weekly for what, how many months now? What? 9 months now with other pastors and just coming together, learning more about how we can do a better job serving you, how we can do a better job serving our community. And we're excited to have him, and we're excited to have his voice in our life, but we're excited to have him share the word of God with us this morning. And we want to bless the man of God as we always do. I just want to tell you, I thank you all. You're such a giving church. You're such a giving church. Do you remember how much was given to Pakistan to rescue? Somewhere between $2,200 and $2,300. $2,200 to $2,300. To rescue families out of brick kilns. And if you weren't here for that, service, you missed it. And if you feel a tug in your heart to go, what is all this about? Come and see me after church and I'll tell you. And we can continue to always give to that work. But we want to be a blessing today to the man of God who's come all the way from Texas, actually, to be with us. And, you know, go Rangers, right? Yes. And if you give online, please put Rich Hooper in the memo there, or for the pastor that spoke this morning, please denote that so we know the difference if you're giving online or through Venmo. All right. Let's just pray a blessing over this prayer or over this offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Lord, you see this church and we are a giving church. We are a generous church, and I thank you for that, God. And I thank you that as we give, we are blessed. But God, we want to sow into this ministry because we know that lives are being changed, churches are being added to, souls are being saved, Lord, through this ministry. And so as we give, let this not just be an offering of financial use, but in the spirit realm, Lord, may it be an encouragement to our brother. May it just bless his soul. May it bless his spirit. May he go forth in power and in demonstration of your word and see you move through his ministry. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come and just give. You can march as we always do. Come and be a blessing, or you can give online. But we're excited about what God's doing here. I do want to give you a quick announcement as you're giving. If you notice today, there's a bus sitting out here, right over here in the parking lot. And this is something that our board of trustees has been talking about and looking at doing. And one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to begin to be able to start a bus ministry, partly because of our Hispanic church. Some of them cannot drive. Some of them don't have cars. But also for some other things, we've had some people that try to make it to this service that haven't been able to. And so be praying about that. That's in the works. The first thing we had to do was purchase the bus, right? And we have done that. Can we give God some glory? Yeah. So we've purchased that bus, and we're going to be working at trying to figure out how we need to start creating some bus routes and go pick people up. This is not something new to our church, though it may be new to you. Years and years ago, we've had bus ministry, and we're just believing God that it's going to open a door for us and make it easier for people to come to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So that's what that's for, all right? I wanted to tell you about that. All right, guys. Well, would you put your hands together and welcome Pastor Rich Hooper as he comes to give us the word this morning.
Bless you. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Amen. What an awesome privilege it is to be here and to be with Pastor Joe and Sister Alicia. Thank you so much. This is my first time in Ohio. So, I mean, born and raised in Texas. Go Cowboys. Okay, I just thought I'd either get some amens or some groans or something. They're going to whip up on the Giants today, unlike they didn't do against the Eagles last week. But we won't go there. But anyway, go Rangers. We'll say go Texas Rangers. But we're so glad to be here today. I send greetings from my wife, Tanya, who couldn't be here. She's the best one of this duo, so I'm sorry you got me instead of both of us. But she couldn't come with us on this trip. We're hoping to be back very soon. But we're glad to be here. As Pastor Joe mentioned, I am a part of the Exceed Church Coaching Program through the Pentecostal Church of God. This is a great program that PCG offers to any of the churches that are interested, which is coaching. And there's 12, 13 different coaches across the nation, and we all just kind of meet via Zoom. And so I am in the Southwest Texas district. That's the district that I'm ordained and work in. But we had a few churches that needed to gather with some other churches, two here in Ohio, two or three in Indiana. And then so we've got kind of a mix of Southwest Texas and Indiana and Ohio group that have been meeting for the last 9 months. And we've gone over the curriculum, and it's been good, but the fellowship and getting to know one another has been great. We actually got a chance to get together during the General Assembly and eat some awesome, sundays or shakes, milkshakes. And have some fellowship. So it's good to be here this morning. I'm changing things up a little bit because I've already given my scriptures to the back, but those scriptures I gave you, those are wonderful scriptures, but I'm not going to preach on those. I just feel strongly that the significance of this day is so important. I want to speak into that, if that's okay, because I really believe, I want you to understand what you're a part of here at this church. And I'm going to do this by first bragging on your pastors, because there are not many pastors who have vision bigger than a building. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of pastors that have vision bigger than just, let's get the building built, let's get the people in the building, and let's sing some songs and hope God moves. And if that's where some churches are, that's great. But this church, these pastors that you have such vision, and even more than that, they have such passion for doing what God wants to do. That's why you're seeing God move in a mighty way. And that's why today is significant, that your stakes are being, your boundaries are being enlarged today. And I just want to speak into that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is not only one of my favorite scriptures. I say that about a lot of them, but, you know, I love the Bible. But there are a few scriptures that really just speak to me. In fact, 2 years ago, let me just start off by saying my wife and I have been in pastoral ministry for 30 years. I've also been in radio broadcasting for 30 years, kind of both worlds. And so we've done that for a long time, senior pastor, youth pastor, executive pastor most recently. 2 years ago, the Lord really encouraged us to branch out and to launch out and start doing church coaching and radio and coaching for radio stations as well, full time. And so we did that. Also giving our marriage testimony, which we would love to share with you sometime, about God performed an absolute miracle in my marriage in 2017. I'll just tease you with it. I asked for divorce 3 times for my wife, and thinking I was doing the right thing, very selfish mode. Finally, God spoke and said, you don't want anybody else, you want her for the rest of your life. And when God spoke that word, it just brought life and peace, and our marriage is better now than it ever has been. Amen? That's very short version of that testimony. We'd love to be able to share that more, but he wants us to give marriage testimony as well. So when we launched out and started this ministry, we were thinking about, okay, what are we going to call this? And what we wanted it to be a nonprofit, and so the Lord really began to speak to Tanya and I both about this scripture, about Ephesians 3:20, and so I'll tell you, I'll make the connection here in a minute. But as the Lord began to speak to us, He said, "Imagine 3:20," and so that's the name of our nonprofit ministry, our church coaching ministry, is Imagine 3:20. But I just want to look at this scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and it says this: Now all glory to God, who is able. Everybody say able. He is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Now, there's a lot to unpack in that scripture, but really, really what I want to speak into today is I want to speak into our responsibility that's laid out in the scripture. First of all, let me say that I love what the writer of Ephesians is saying here. He's saying, God is able. And many of you need to hear that this morning in your life. God is able. I don't know if you've ever struggled with imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is when you walk into a room and you assume that nobody wants you there. My son, who is 29 years old, is now a youth pastor and a visual arts pastor, and he gave his testimony recently about, and he's grown up in the church, he's a preacher's kid, and he's been involved in acting and video production, and just very, he's outgoing, he's very personable, you love him, he's one of these people that you just really enjoy talking to, but he began to open up and share that he struggles with imposter syndrome, that when he walks into a room, he just assumes that everybody, that nobody wants him there. And some of you may be struggling with your ability to do what God has called you to do. You may be struggling with your ability to do what you're to be doing on this earth as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, a dad, working at your job. It may be that you're struggling with paralyzed by the thoughts of inability or insufficiency to do what you need to do. And can I just tell you this? I do believe in having a good mindset, a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. I do believe that we need to enlarge our thinking and our understanding. Contrary to what you may see here, I don't believe in being a well-rounded person. I am well-rounded. But I don't necessarily believe that you should know everything and know how to do everything and find out what you're weak in and try to get stronger there, because then you become mediocre at best. I believe that we all should be confident in what we do know, confident in what we don't know, and partner with people who know more than we know, and that's how the body of Christ is complete. So I want to encourage you today that if you're struggling with inability, just know that God has created you according to Ephesians 2:10. He has created you, you're His workmanship, and He created you according to a blueprint that He prepared before the foundation of the earth to do good works, and you are created and made to do those works. So God has given you certain skills, abilities, and talents, and here's the best thing you can do on this earth. Be you, warts and all. Just be you. I do not like the statement, fake it till you make it. That's impossible. I say get real so you can heal, right? Just get real. Be yourself. Be genuine. Be you. Now, always be striving to get better. But I'm not here just to give you a motivational speech. What I'm here to tell you is that part where your inability, where your ability stops, God's ability goes further. God is able. And when He calls you to do something, this is for you individually. Pastor, this is for this church. This is for this church. When He calls you to do something, His ability is what we need to focus on. We need to work through in our ability what God's called us to do, but focus on His ability. And I want you to hear that for your life, for what God has called you to do in this church. Many of you have been a vital part of getting this church to where it is today. If this church was just Pastor Joe and Pastor Alicia, they're fun people, but this would be a very boring church. It would just be the two of them standing here going, well, hello, 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 welcome, welcome, welcome. It's just an empty building. You are the church. This building is a facilitation of what God wants to do here. You are the church. You are a significant part of what God has done. And let me just say this. We celebrate the legacy. This church has great legacy. I've heard a lot of great things. Even last weekend, I was in Zanesville with Pastor Donnie and Stephanie Rowland, and hearing great stories about the legacy that this family, but also this church, has in this area. That's legacy is great, and we want to celebrate that legacy. But why is God done establishing legacy? He's not. What He's doing right now, think about this. In years to come, should the Lord tarry, there's going to be a pastor standing behind some podium somewhere going, in 2023, pastors had a vision to begin reaching out to other people groups. And now look at where the church is. And celebrating the legacy that you are creating right now. Hear that. You are not just fulfilling a task. You're not just doing something because you need something else to do. It is a significant moment and a significant thing that you have been called to do. And I hear just the announcements of all the things that are going on here and talking with Pastor Joe and Alicia and all of the different projects that you're involved with and your involvement with the district. I hear the vision. I hear the passion. And standing down there this morning as I saw Pastor Joe just regurgitating all kinds of vision, I couldn't help but go, you know what? That's God. You said it. It was a prophetic utterance that is so significant. And if we're not careful, we'll miss how important that is. Because that prophetic utterance is not just from His mouth to your ears. It is from His Spirit into the heavenlies. It is from God's Spirit through Him to the heavenlies. And when something is declared, things begin to happen. Before this church, before this assembly that's going to be meeting this afternoon was ever formed, there was a thought and there was a word that was spoken. What if we, and they began to speak it. They began to say, what if we? Now, I want to bring this back to you individually. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And I'll even say this, God has a plan and purpose for your marriage. You've come too late to tell me that it's too late for marriages to be restored. Wrong. Wrong. I mean, I'm thankful that my wife can't make up her mind. I asked her 3 times for divorce, and she couldn't decide, right? But I'm thankful that as a godly woman, she was like, well, hold on, wait a minute. But then God spoke a word. He spoke a word to me. And when he declared that word, it produced peace. It produced something. I'm telling you that today is very significant for this church and for you because God is doing something in this church and in your life. So strong, and this is hard for me because I'm very structured, and when I have an agenda for a meeting, it's the Magna Carta. I mean, we are not divvying, and I had already notes for this morning, and I had already given the scriptures back there, and the Lord goes, I want you to speak into the vision of the house. And I'm like, okay, God, but all I have is a scripture. He said, that's all you need. But I don't want you to be concerned about, Pastor Darius, I don't want you to be concerned about your inabilities. I don't want the devil to speak into, because I don't know you. I've never met you. I've heard good things about you. Look forward to getting to meet you later. But I can tell you of a certain that the enemy has been whispering in your ear, you can't do this. You don't have time. You don't have the ability. And what if you try it and it doesn't work? I just know how the enemy works. I'm here to tell you something. You, as a man of God, know this. When the enemy begins to whisper that, the exact opposite is true. That number one, we'll get to God in a minute, but God has gifted you. God has called you and your team. No man can do it by themselves. No couple can do it by themselves. But God has called you to lead a charge, to minister to a people group that Pastor Joe has a heart and vision for, but he does not have the ability to minister to them in the way that you can. And so I'm just here to reinforce what I believe God wants you to hear, that you have the ability and you have all the resources you need to do exactly what God wants you to do. He's going to give you more resources. That's not a problem. When you need it, they'll be there. Where there's vision, there's provision. And because you have a heart for it, you and your family, God, I want to encourage you that you are enough. You're enough. Amen. But if you were to stop there, and I just have a sense that you're a man of God to know that you don't just stop there to go, well, I'm enough. Bless God. I'm sorry this podium is in the way. I'd really like for you all to see me. I'm enough. Everybody say enough. Does that make your stomach turn like it does mine? I've seen preachers like that, but not in this church. I know your pastor. Here's the thing. We have to believe, we have to have the certainty to know that we are enough to do all that God has asked us to do. In fact, the thing is so big that if God wasn't in it, it would fail. But that's exactly what God calls us to do. Can I just tell you this? God is not as concerned about your comfort as he is you being comforted. In other words, you are not saved to be a believer, to be a Christian, so you could just sail through life without a problem. And if that's been your life, come take this microphone and teach us. It's not about being comfortable. In fact, if you're comfortable, I wonder what your motivations are. But it's about being confident in how God has made me. We have to be careful because I think a lot of times in Christianity, I promise I'm going somewhere with this. We have to be careful because I believe in the church, we have downgraded our abilities, and we've talked about how that we are nothing and we're just a worm. And look, I don't believe in overconfidence, but I do have to think that God knew what he was doing when he made me. Now, there is a difference between my character and my character defects, and I have plenty of them. There's things that I have done in my life, decisions, whatever that have caused character defects in my life that God's working with me on. But even in the midst of those character defects, whatever they may be, God still put something inside of me, a drive to accomplish something that He created me specifically to accomplish. And I am no different than you. Just because I'm standing here with the mic and I'm standing here with my jacket on and behind the... Listen, I'm here to tell you that God has created you according to a plan of something that He wants you to accomplish, and your goal in life should be find it and get involved with it. And can I just put your mind at ease? You're already in a place that's doing something where God is at work. All you have to do is be engaged with it. If you're looking for a place to find to be engaged where God is working, ta-da! Amen? Now, where you start's not always where you finish. Who knows how long God has you here, but guess what? You are here. Even if this is your very first Sunday, welcome. Glad to have you. But God has a plan and a purpose for you in your life. I really believe strongly that many people need to hear this morning. I'll even say this. It's never too late. God's not done. God is not done. You may be thinking, well, I'm over the age of being used by God. Really? You're still on the top side of planet Earth. You're still breathing breath. God can use you. He used a donkey before to speak, didn't He? It doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter, and here's a big one. But Pastor Rich, you don't know what I've done in my life. I may not know what you've done, or I may not know what's been done to you, but I can tell you that nothing is impossible with God. And God loves using broken vessels. He is close to those who are broken and with a contrite spirit. He loves for those to come and say, oh God, without you I'm nothing. But because I have you, all things are possible because you have the Spirit of God working inside of me. That's the second part. God is able, but it says here that He's able through His mighty power at work within us. So where our inability or our ability stops and we get into our inability, the Spirit of God works inside of us to lead us and to guide us and to speak through us. There have been many times that I have grabbed the mic. I can think of one particular time, Pastor Darius, in Costa Rica, where habla un poquito español. See, I just told you everything I know how to say in Spanish, which says I know very little Spanish. Un poquito, no mucho. Taco burrito, I took 3 years of Spanish, but because I don't use it, I lose it. And I live in Texas, and I should be using it more often. But I can tell you this, in Costa Rica, we were there ministering. It was back when I was a youth pastor in the mid-90s. Took a group over there. And so we were supposed to be out playing soccer with the community, with the village, but it began to rain, so we couldn't play soccer. So they said, let's just all go into this open-air tabernacle, and let's just minister to the kids mainly. And so we were like, well, we didn't have a plan. We were like supposed to be playing soccer. And so at night we were doing services. They said, let's just get them all underneath the open-air tabernacle. And so God said, I want you to get up and tell the story about the vessel on the shelf. And I said, I don't know a story about a vessel on the shelf. He said, I'll tell you. I didn't even have time to argue with God. So I get up and I said, I want to tell you a story today about a vessel on the shelf. And then the interpreter said, and while the interpreter was telling them what I just told them, God was telling me what to say next. Never had that happen before. Now, I have said things before on the mic and went, oh, God, that was good. I wished I'd have thought of that. But this was a complete story, and I'm not going to tell you the story today, but it was a complete story about how God uses broken vessels that were put on the shelf that thought they could never be used again. And He just spoke right through me as the interpreter was given the words that I just said. He would give me the next line. And I'm like, God, you are so good. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is working inside of you, He will not only tell you what to say and where to go, but He'll also tell you what not to say and where not to go. The Holy Spirit, according to the power, one translation says, God is able to do. So God is able. We all know that God is able. He spoke the world into existence. But what's conditional? What's conditioned is according to the power at work in you. How much of the Holy Spirit are you allowing to work inside of you? Let me bring this back to a corporate sense. How much of the Holy Spirit is at work in this church? Well, I can tell you this morning, standing on the front row, God and His Spirit is moving in this church. How do I know? I could feel Him. I could sense His Spirit. I could see the pastors involved in proactively ushering in the presence of God. I could hear you worshiping. I could hear you speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. I know the Spirit is at work, and I see fruit. That's how I know the Spirit of God is moving in this place. Amen. Five people are glad the Holy Spirit's moving in this place. But what God will do, Pastor Darius, what God will do in this new assembly that you guys will have today is conditional to what you will allow the Spirit, the power of God, to move in the hearts and minds of people. Now, that may not look the same as it did 50 years ago, because that style of worship and that may not be what people are attracted to or looking to. But the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. And here's what He does. He broods over empty hearts, and when the Word is spoken, life comes in. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He hovers over people who are void and empty and longing and looking. And when the Word is spoken, He quickens that Word, and life is produced, and salvation and hope and healing and restoration is produced. That's what happens when the power of God is moving, working in a place. The ability of God is enhanced and amplified when the Spirit of God is moving and at work. I'm declaring this to you today. I'm reinforcing what I already know is at work in this place. And I'm saying you have a role in this. This is not just Pastor Joe and Alicia. This is not just Pastor Darius. This is not just Ryan. This is not just anybody else that's on a leadership team. This is you. And it's not just your finances. Thank you for your giving, because it takes money to make things happen, but even where there's a lack of money, God will give things and He'll make things happen. But then you don't get the blessing if you're not a part of helping to give. Thank you for that. But you know what? You're a vital part of what God is doing in this church and everything that He is doing. But it's according to the power of God that's at work inside of you as well. Why? Because you may be sitting on the front row and God says, I want you to do something. And you go, oh, I've never done that before. And God goes, perfect. Because they'll never see it coming from you. Do it. Go talk to Pastor Joe. Go talk to Pastor Darius. I don't even know what un poquito español means. I don't even know that that means a little bit of Spanish. It doesn't matter. If you go to Pastor Darius and say, hey, I want to help. What can I do? I want to be a part of what God is doing. There's something you can do. If you're not fully engaged in God's work here and in the kingdom, I'm encouraging you to do it, because we need you in the kingdom. We need you in the kingdom. You complement the body with everything that you do. And you may be thinking, I don't think I can do much. You can do exactly what you've been gifted to do, no matter what that is. Is this speaking to anybody today? I hope it is. If nothing else, I'm just declaring it out into heavenlies. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, but the thing is, we have to allow His Spirit to be moving inside of us. That's the first condition. The second condition is we have to ask, think, or imagine. God wants to do a lot, but if we don't ever ask Him what it is He wants to do, then He is limited. Here's what I'm saying. God is limited within us because we don't imagine what He wants to do. I think the biggest disservice that a lot of churches have today, and I can say that because 3 days after I was born, I was at the East Texas District Convention being passed around by church ladies, shoving Cheerios down my throat. That's why I am the way I am today, right? So I literally have grown up in church. I'm a church boy. I understand church. And I can tell you the biggest disservice that most churches have today is they don't think past where they are. They don't imagine past what they see, and they don't imagine past what they have seen. There's a difference in legacy and tradition. Legacy is we celebrate all that has happened and all that has been done to get us to where we are today. Tradition is that got us to where we are, so let's keep doing that to get us where we're going. That's called insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. We don't get stuck in tradition. There are some things that you do that are traditional things, but you don't just do them because that's the way you've always been doing them. How many have heard the story about the mom who was cooking Thanksgiving dinner and cut the ham in half and put it in the oven, and the daughter walked up to the mom, 5-year-old daughter, and said, "Mom, why are you cutting the ham in half?" She said, "I don't know. Grandma always did. Let's call her and ask her." So they call Grandma. "Hey, Grandma, why do you cut the ham in half?" She said, "I don't know. My mom did that, and I don't know. Let's go back to the recipe and see why she cut it in half." So they go back to the recipe, and it said, "Because my oven is too small, I have to cut the ham in half." Didn't understand the why. They were just repeating the what. I just described a lot of churches. They get together every Sunday, and they cut the ham in half. Why? Bless God, we just did it 50 years ago. I mean, we started in a little country, a little small school house, so why not stay in a little small school house? Because here's the thing. If you're not expanding your borders, and this is awesome to see this facility, but I see this facility and I see these chairs, you know what that is? That's imagination and vision past what was done before, which back then, that was imagination and vision. But then as God continues to do greater things, that imagination, that vision begins to grow because the harvest is growing and God's ability to do even greater things begins to increase, and he gives greater resources and he brings people like you here to accomplish what he wants to do. But it starts with going, what does God want for us in this next year? And I just happen to know that your pastors are asking that question. They're thinking, they're asking, and they're imagining. Now, you shouldn't imagine without asking God. Because if you imagine what God can do but don't ask him his opinion, you're going to do some pretty cool things, but they're going to be your things and your plans. I'm a planner. I'm a planner. I'm a structure guy. That's what I do. But I believe in prayerful planning. I don't believe in praying and not planning. Hear me? I don't believe in just saying, "God, do great things," but then not making room for God to do great things. I believe that's not good stewardship. I believe in prayerfully planning and then thinking and asking, say, "God, what do you want to do that's going to stretch us and challenge us?" Here's what I love about this church. This church has a growth mindset. Here's what, my wife is a teacher. She does, right now she does online tutoring, and that's why she couldn't be here today. Even though she can do it remotely, it's at a certain time every day, and so with all the traveling, she couldn't make that happen. But here's the thing that she's taught me. I understood it in concept, but she helped me understand what growth mindset and what fixed mindset is. And I want to just speak into you today that this church has a growth mindset. I want you, as the church, to have that same growth mindset for you and for this church. I feel this strongly today. That growth mindset, what is that? It's people that believe that your most basic abilities can be developed through dedication, hard work, and through the leading of the Spirit. The growth mindset is we can do more than we're doing right now. We can. What we're doing right now is great. But God's calling us to go to the next level. And God calls us to do, even Jesus, when he left, how many would agree that Jesus did great works while he was on the earth? For 3.5 years, involved, engaged in ministry, he did miracles. But what did he tell his disciples when he left? "Even greater things than I did shall you do." I don't know if that was necessarily in magnitude as much as it was quantity and bigger things, because we have greater ability through technology to reach the world, through technology. That camera right back there is not a camera, that's a missionary. That's taken this gospel around the world. It's amazing. Think about that. So we have the ability to do great things, but if we limit ourselves to what we know and what we've done before, then we'll miss it. But God wants to use you to do great and mighty things. Daniel 11:32, the second part says, "Those who know their God will be strong and do mighty exploits." Those who don't, not those who know of God, but those who know epignosko, which means an intimate knowing, like a husband knows his wife. If you know God in an intimate way, you'll be strong and you'll be able to do mighty exploits. Why? Because that's the purpose of your plan here on earth. It's not just to make it till you get to heaven. It's to get to heaven, but take as many people with you as you can. How do you do that? Ask God what His plan is. Imagine. Use your imagination. A church out in the middle of, I don't know what kind of fields these are, in Cary, Ohio. It looks like corn. Maybe that was corn. A church right in the middle of cornfield, right? What could God do with the church out here in Cary, Ohio? Great and mighty things. Great and why? Because He is a great and mighty God. We sing it this morning. So God is able to do it. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that, but most of the time we go, yeah, God's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. He is able. However, what is He able to do through you? It's number one, according to the power, the mighty power at work in you. And number two, it's according to what you will ask, think, and imagine Him to do. So ask for God to do things in your life. Ask, seek, and knock. We should be constantly going, God, thank You for what You did in my life. Thank You for how You were able to use me on my job. Thank You for how You were able to use me with my neighbors. Thank You for how You're able to use me to minister to the preschoolers. Thank You for how You're able to minister to men and to women in the church, to lead worship, to sing, to preach. Thank You for that. But God, what is it that You want me to do that gets me outside of my comfort zone? I've gotten in a good rhythm, God. I've gotten in a good rhythm. I've gotten in a good pattern. I've gotten in a good place. I'm just rocking right along. And all of a sudden, complacency sets in and apathy sets in. And God goes, I want to stretch you a little bit. I want to stretch you a little bit. And so then we start thinking, God, what is that thing that You want me to do that's going to stretch me a little bit? You may be thinking, I feel like there's somebody saying right now, but Pastor Rich, I don't have a lot of time. My job is consuming. I have a family. You know, that's fine. God knows exactly how much time you have, and God knows how much time you can probably make. He's not asking you to do something that's impossible for Him. He's asking you to do something that's possible for Him that's going to stretch you a little bit. Why? Because we want to see those kinds of results, and we are seeing those kind of results. Here's what happens with a growth mindset. You embrace challenges. You persist through obstacles. You learn from criticism. You're inspired by the success of others. That's having that growth mindset and not staying in a fixed mindset, which is saying that you're not going to take risks. You're going to just keep repeating the same process that you've always used, despite knowing that the results will be the same. We're just going to go to church on Sunday, and we're going to sit through church. We're going to give our tip to God, and we're going to go eat, and then we're going to get back to work during the week, and we'll come back next Sunday. Blah. I'm just like, I've been in church too long to play church. Now, I can come to church and strike the worship pose. I know how to do it. I know how to play church. But I'm not interested in that. No, there's no hope. And then people come to church, not here, they'll come to a church, go through the motions, not feel the Spirit of God, and go right back into their mess of life and feel the same hopelessness. Dear God, don't let us do that. It is not about coming in here and looking a certain way. I mean, it's not about worshiping a certain way. It's not even about singing and you have to say God instead of God or you're really not a Christian. You know, it's not about speaking. It's about being who God has called you to be and doing what God has called you to do. Are you hearing me this morning? This is not the message that I prepared. I have a wonderful message that I could have preached. And I didn't want to change it, but God was like, I want you to speak into this impactful day and what I am doing in this place. And again, I want to remind you, it's all about you as well. Here's the key elements of a growth mindset. Knowledge can be developed. Understanding and capacity can be developed. And again, I'm thinking about the limitations that you put on yourself and the limitations, if we're not careful, we put on a church. We can learn to do different things. We can learn the things that Pastor Joe and Alicia, they joined Exceed because they're like, we know there are things that we know and we've learned, but there's other things we don't know. And so we want to expose ourselves to not just me, but other pastors in the group to learn and to hear things that God may use to go, that. Throughout this whole 9 months, there was a fire hose of information, right? Just like, here's all this information. And on the very last meeting that we had, Sister Alicia, we were talking, and she said, there was so much information, but here's one or two things that really stood out to me that God just said, that's what I want you to focus on. And that's it, because they have this teachable spirit. They understand that they can be developed. You can learn more than you know right now. Even if you're like, Pastor Rich, God really can't use me because I can't quote Scripture like you do or like Pastor Joe does. Okay, but you have Scripture, and God will put the Scripture in your heart, and He'll bring it up to your remembrance when you need it. You don't have to have 10 verses memorized before God will use you. Yes, put God's word in your heart, hide it in your heart, but engage with doing something for God that He can use you to do. My dad always said you can't drive a parked car. You got to put that car in gear for it to move. With that growth mindset, you also embrace challenges. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't want to embrace challenges. I want to try to fix them before I get there. That's what I want to do. But I embrace challenges because I'm like, all right, we're going to have to do something different here, and we're going to have to see how God wants us to grow through this. Don't you think that what you're embarking on today at 3 o'clock, don't you know there's been some challenges and still are to get this launched? It sounds easy, right? All you have to do is tell 5 or 6 people, open the doors, and start speaking in Spanish. And right? Isn't that all you have to do? No. No, hardly ever do you see a church with growth mindset that does the build it and they will come mentality. Let's build a church, let's open the doors, and let's strike the chord on the guitar, and people will just flock to the building. I mean, there are times where the Holy Spirit has drawn people in, but for the most part, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and there's a lot of challenges. But you persist in those challenges. You persist in setbacks. You see effort as a path to understanding how God wants to do more things. You even learn from criticism. Nobody in this church ever does. And Pastor Joe and Alicia have never been criticized, and Pastor Darius have been criticized. So I understand this doesn't apply here, but just this is for the church down the street, that they have to learn from criticism. I'm not talking about, there's a difference in being having a culture of critique and being critical. A culture of critique is healthy. Am I doing the best I can do? Am I doing this the best way I know how? Am I doing this the most effective and efficient way that I can? Asking those questions, always learning. But criticism is different because critique will motivate you to grow. Criticism will always be pushing you down. It's the seesaw method. The reason people are critical is because they want to push you down so they're lifted up. And that's how the enemy works. He's the accuser of the brethren. And that's exactly what he wants to do. But you'll actually learn. I've had this happen, Pastor Joe. Maybe you've had this happen too, that I've had somebody that was so critical of me as a pastor, and everything they were saying, I wanted to rebuke it and cast them out of the church. And God said, but what is it that they're saying is true? And they tore it up getting it out, and they were wrong in the way they came to me with it. But at the heart of what they're saying, God goes, yeah, I've been talking to you about that for a while. And I'm like, I don't want to give them that freedom of knowing that they've spoken into my life. And God's like, I've spoken into your life. You can learn from criticism. You can find inspiration in the success of others. That's exactly what Pastor Joe and Alicia have done. They said, let's talk to somebody else who's been in different areas of doing things that we haven't done and see if we can learn from them. I'm saying all that not just to lift them up. I'm saying this is true for you too. You're going to become the people that you hang around. And so what you can do is find people who are going to encourage you, find people who are going to challenge you in the spirit, in spiritual matters, as a disciple, but also in the kingdom. You want to be hanging around people. Now, we need to be reaching up and reaching back at the same time. We need to be reaching back to help others and bring them along. You need to be the one that's challenging other people, but don't just surround yourself with like-minded and people at the same level as you. You need to be hanging around people that will challenge you. I need to have people in my life that when they look at me, I think, oh, they're looking right into my soul. I want to start repenting, and I don't even know what it's from, because they're just that kind of people that are just that challenge me. And when they say something, I go, ooh, I need to do that. I need to be that. I need to step it up in some areas of my life. I don't have it all going on. I don't have it all together. Last time I got it all together, I put it somewhere and couldn't find it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not even about that. It's about progressing. It's about being changed. It's about being transformed. It's about doing greater things than what you did this time last week, this time last year. I want to wrap it up by saying this. This church has great vision. You've heard it this morning. But that vision is nothing if, number one, God's not in it. If, number two, you're not in it. It's because a vision without a people and a plan is just a dream. And dreams are great. But dreams become visions, and visions become strategic plans when there's action items put to it. When there's boots on the ground. When there's like, okay, this is what I see, this is what I sense, and this is what I feel, but we got to start putting it down on paper. Habakkuk says, write down the vision and make it plain so that those that can read it can run with it. I love that terminology. Read it, run with it. And can I just say this? This is what I want to tell you today. I want you to ask God what He wants to do, and we're going to do that this morning before we finish. I want you to ask God. I want you to imagine what God can do in you and through you. Stop putting the limitations on God. Can I just be that strong to say that? Stop it. That displeases God when you tell Him what He can't do through you. Don't do that anymore. I've done it. But can I just strongly tell you, do not ever do that again. But then say, God, what can you do through me? Now, you're going to have to take me to the next level before I can really do things at the next level. But I only do this if you're ready. Say, God, take me to that next level. I want to do something so big for you that it's going to make a difference. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm embarking on something in just a little bit, probably the next few months, that I believe God is calling me to do it because it's going to make a huge impact in the kingdom. And it scares me. Can I just say that? Can I just say it scares me? And part of me goes, what? You're going to commit to that? But then I have this thing inside of me. It's just like, it's just that drive. It's that vision. It's that passion. And I think that's exactly what God is doing this morning. God is restoring passion in your heart today for His work. God's restoring that passion. I believe many of you have had your passion drained out. And God is restoring passion. And I believe He's beginning to revive vision in you this morning. Would you stand with me this morning? Can we just agree together? I believe it would be, again, poor stewardship if we heard God say something and didn't enact it in our life, didn't activate it in our life. So I'm just going to encourage you to do this where you are. And this is for you. This is not for your neighbor. Husbands, this is not even for your wife. Wives, this is not for your husband. This is for you. I want you, if you're able, to lift your hands and say, God, I want you to do great things through me. I want you to do even greater things through me than what you've done. I want you, God, to restore that passion for the lost, that passion for the hurting. God, I'm sorry that I haven't cared enough about the hurting around me, that I've just been apathetic. But God, I want you to create that passion in me for the lost and the hurting around me, so that when I see them, I am moved with compassion to pray for them, to help them, to do something different, to give them a cup of cold water if that's all I have, to give them the shirt off my back if that's what I have, to give the cards to those in prison because that's what's in my hand, to minister to the children, to do what it is. But God, renew and restore that passion in me to do the work that you have created me to do, and you have called me, and you are equipping me to do it. God, I just want to engage myself in the work that you have called me to do. And God, we want to engage in the work that's going on here in this house. Lord, the work that you want us to do corporately together as a body. The great work that is on the horizon. Lord, we thank you for what you're speaking into Pastor Joe and Alicia. We thank you for what you're speaking into the leadership team. And God, we are ready for our marching orders, God, so that we can engage to do great things to reach this area for you. To see the people whose marriages are falling apart, their marriages get restored. Those who have physical issues, have a diagnosis or a prognosis, and have lost hope, so they can find hope in you. God, that's what we want. We want people come in that are looking for love. They're looking for belonging, and they're finding it through addiction. They're trying to find it through inappropriate relationships. But we want them to come here to find you, God. And we want to take it to them outside these walls. God, that's what we want to do. That's what we want. We want to make a greater impact in our community, Lord, for you. Because that's what you've called us and equipped us to do. And if we're not doing it, God, we're being disobedient. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to not get so lost in our inefficiencies and inabilities and our imposter syndrome that we start believing the lies of the enemy. I come against fear right now in the name of Jesus. I come against that intimidation. You have not given us a spirit of intimidation, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I come against that fear of rejection right now. There are people in this room that have been rejected, and you're afraid it's going to happen again. Number one, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even when you turn your back on him, he never turns his back on you. He loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Hear that. God loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you have relationships here in this room that they may let you down from time to time because they're human, but their heart is for you to grow and to be equipped and to help you. You're in the right place. And God, I thank you, Lord, because we come against that fear of rejection. We come against that fear of intimidation from the enemy. Lord, the enemy will even use people sometimes to speak intimidation into our heart. I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to stop the spirit of comparison. We're going to stop comparing ourselves to other people. Pastor Joe and Alicia will stop comparing this church to another church. They're going to see the value and what you have said that this church will do and the impact this church will have and celebrate connecting with other churches and celebrating the body of Christ, but not compare this church with another and trying to become somebody else. You've created this church with a unique gifting, unique calling to be what they need to be to reach those that you want them to reach. And I just speak that right now into existence, even greater than they have before. God, I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for hope. I thank you for restoration of joy. I thank you, Lord, for renewing passion. I thank you, Lord, for renewing vision. I just pray, God, right now that you just begin speaking to people even right now. You begin to download vision into their heart. Download vision for their family. Download vision for their home. Download vision for their jobs. There's people in this room that God's going to give you vision for the place where you work, and you're going to get promoted so that God can accomplish that vision in that place of work. God will give you vision for where you engaged, and that vision is beyond the mission and vision of that company. It's also the gospel. It's the vision for you to help reach people where you are and to do what you have been gifted to do to your best ability, whether that's in full-time ministry or whether it's in the marketplace doing ministry. God, you're just renewing vision this morning, and I thank you for it, God. Thank you for that. I just stir it up right now in the name of Jesus. I stir it up. Holy Spirit, we pray that you begin to move and work in our lives so strong that we just can't sit on it, that we can't just sit still. We have to write it down. We have to run with it. We have to engage with it. We have to see this work done because it's so strong in our hearts today. God, I thank you for the vision of this house. I thank you, Lord, for the vision of this leadership team and these pastors. I thank you for what they're embarking on today, which is a significant part of building a legacy for the future. And I pray, God, that they never get satisfied with what they're doing. Never get satisfied, that they're always saying, God, what else do you want us to do? How else do you want us to do it? And that they'll constantly be reaching forward and reaching ahead to do more than they can even ask or imagine because you're at work in their life. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't you lift your hands? Give God some praise for what he's speaking to us in this place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for your words of direction. God, we thank you for your words that are stirring us to see done what you have declared. It is impossible, but with you it's not impossible. And we stand in faith and we receive this word right now. We receive fresh vision, clear understanding and wisdom how to carry out the vision that you're giving us right now. We receive it with thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we close, I do want to offer an opportunity if anybody needs to come receive Jesus. This is a house that always wants to pray with people to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We can come pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'll come pray for you. We don't feel like it's awkward or weird. Listen, we always want to give that opportunity, and people won't be staring at you. People will be rejoicing with you and praying with you. And so, do want to make that offer to you. We never want to close a service that we're not offering God to minister to your life in that way. So if that's you, just make your way down here and we'll pray with you if you want to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If anyone else needs prayer, come forward. We always want to make that an opportunity for people. How many know that God is moving in our midst? Amen. How many are thankful for the word you heard this morning? It's a God word for a moment of time that God's speaking to us. And I want you to know that. And I know Brother Rich, he would not have changed his message at all unless God was speaking to him. But God has moved in a very specific way today. And things that have been said here that he has no clue that have been said, he has confirmed the word that he preached this morning. And so God is speaking very specifically to this place. And we need to stand in that. Amen. And not only stand in it, but we need to then walk in it. We're moving forward in faith, right? How many of you believe that God has helped you this morning step into a deeper growth mindset? I want you to raise your hand saying, yes, I'm growing in Christ. I'm not fixed where I'm at. I'm not stuck where I'm at, but I'm growing in Christ. I'm moving forward in him. And what I want you to do is I want you to remind yourself of that throughout this week, that I'm moving forward in Christ and I'm growing in Christ, because the enemy is going to come at you. He's going to speak lies to you. There's going to be things that happen that are going to try to distract you and deter you. And you are going to praise God through it all because it's causing you to grow. Amen. For a seed to produce anything, it first has to die to itself. And then it has to break forth and begin to push through all of the dirt. And then once it gets through the dirt, it has to go through the fertilizer. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? And once it gets through the fertilizer, then it begins to see the light of day and begins to grow. There are things that we go through that help us grow. Sometimes it stinks, but it's helping us grow. Amen. It's giving us what we need. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've accomplished this day. I thank you for your word that has went forth. I thank you for a people who have just absorbed it. I sense in my spirit the quietness is because they have just took in what you are saying, Lord. And I thank you for that right now. I thank you that we are moving forward and everything that you have spoken to us, and we will see it come to pass, and we will grow therein and thereby, Lord. Now, I thank you for every home and family that's connected to the Lighthouse. We pray blessing upon them. We pray peace upon their homes. May your face shine upon them. May they walk closely with you. But most of all, Lord, may they also be the light that you have purposed for them to be in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you all. Have a wonderful Sunday.